This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 97, The No Time to Die, 2021, Daniel Craig's final movie as 007. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys. So now, since this is a brand new movie and we actually reviewing it for the first time when on release week, there's going to be tons of spoilers. So please, again, guys, if you have not seen the movie, come back to this podcast. And if you did see this movie, then sit back and enjoy and listen. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, sit back and enjoy and check us out when we have this full discussion on this No Time to Die. So for those of you out there that is new to the channel, we added a new category for the 007 movies. Those are the open title sequence. These are the new artists that are going to be singing the theme songs. We're going to rate them and give you guys our thoughts on the new songs. And then, of course, we're going to give you guys the box office numbers, Rotten Tomato scores, and then, of course, our review of No Time to Die. So let's get to the review. With that said, let's start off with some box office numbers for No Time to Die. Again, now this is starting fresh in the first week of this movie, but so far, domestic $56 million, international $257 million for a worldwide total of $313 million. The budget, I do not know, but I think it's higher than 250 or 200, or roughly around there. Yeah. But Nate, what did you think for so far?
Listen, very impressive. We're talking pretty much time of recording, the movie's been out in the U.S. for 2 days, you know, like it just opened.
Yeah.
And worldwide, it's only been out for like 9 or 10 days because it opened last week in a lot of territories.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 10 days worldwide, 300 and something million. Beautiful. That is what I like to see. People will still go to the theater for these big franchises. Venom did amazing last week. Bond, you know what? The tracking was similar to Venom in pre-sales. But I think what happened was, and it made a lot of money. I mean, this is not discouraging it in any way. But one thing you got to keep in mind is Venom, 90 minutes long, Bond, nearly twice that.
Yeah.
So it shortens the amount of showings they can have per day. If you look at your IMAX, there's probably 4 shows a day, maybe. Yeah. Whereas if it was shorter, you could fit more screening. So that might have affected it. But I think overall, it's going to make a lot of money. I think it'll do well over, obviously, it'll do well over 100 million domestic. And actually, in the U.S., this is one of the biggest Bond openings like ever. I think it beat Skyfall or something like that, which came out at normal time. And I read another comparison. It beat the last two Mission Impossible movies, which opened in non-pandemic. So that's really good. You know, I hope it keeps making money.
Yeah, look, with that said, let's check out what the audience and the critics have to say. And then again, this movie is still fresh, so numbers and reviews are still coming in. But what is it at so far?
So as of us recording right now, this has an 84% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, so very good. Back up, you know, we talked about it. All the odd number movies, high in the 80s or 90s, and all the even number movies in the 60s from critics. So this follows that trend, 84, and with audiences even higher, 89% audience score. So the reviews are great. People are liking it and critics are liking it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, right? Because we're in the final Daniel Craig movie of the Bond, and actually it's pretty high. And this is what, the fifth installment in his story arc. And it's weird because Die Hard is at 5 and it never opened up to those high numbers or even sniffed higher than. So it's pretty interesting, right, in terms of franchises. But all right, so let's get right into the opening title sequence, which is Billie Eilish.
Eilish.
Yeah.
With no time to die. All right. So this is going to be a fun review. I'm really excited for this. You guys know we normally do old movie. Well, not old, but older, right? This is our first, not that we've never, we've done live shows, so we're doing new movies. But this is our first Action Movie Guy review. And this is our first Bond movie that we are both seeing at fresh as it come out. You know, Alex, the diehard Bond fan. Nate, the casual. We'll call me the casual Bond fan. Haven't even seen them all. I'm the casual. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know how this is going to go. Now, I do know one thing about this song, but I'll just share my piece. I thought it was pretty good. Now, granted, I like Billie Eilish as an artist. I like her music. I think she's super talented. I think she's got a very cool style, very unique, a very unique voice. Does she have the big voice of like an Adele or even a Sam Smith? No, she's not that style of artist. As far as the song, I'd rank it somewhere in the middle of the Craig movies. It's no Skyfall. It's no Casino Royale song. I did like it better than the Jack White and Alicia Keys song. And I probably liked it maybe as equal to Sam Smith. I don't love either one, but I didn't hate it. It was fine. I like her, and so it sounded cool, especially in IMAX with the loudspeakers, but a little slow. I wish it was a little, I don't know, it fits her style. But the opening credits, awesome. They had a lot of callbacks to all the previous movies, which I thought was cool. When he was standing on the little aces, like from Casino Royale, that was cool. When they were mixing in like Quantum stuff and Skyfall stuff, I loved it. I thought the credit sequence was a 5 out of 5. I thought the song, 3.5. I'm going to fall at a nice solid 4. For the total package of the opening credits.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I heard this song prior to the movie, because they're playing it on the radio, and I remember when they announced her, I think a few weeks or a month later, they released that track. And I heard it, and I thought it stunk. I was like, oh, man, this song's horrible. Watching it in the IMAX and getting the graphics behind it, because you got to watch it with the graphics. I mean, you can listen to a song and for a movie, but if you don't get the opening title sequence to it, it's going to be very a different experience.
True.
I enjoyed it for what it was. It was way better than Quantum of Solace. I loved the title sequence. I agree with you. The title sequence was awesome. I loved the nod to Dr. No with all the dots. You never seen it.
Oh, I don't even know that. I thought that was really cool.
That was the original Bond movie, the first Bond, Sean Connery. So it has the color dots when it went boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, I was like, this looks old. Yeah, I don't know what it meant.
Dr. No. That's Dr. No. For those of you, I mean, so that was pretty cool. I was like, all right. That's cool. But the song for me is just, it fit the movie. The song fit the movie perfect. I just did not like, I don't like her. I had never heard none of her songs. I just think she sounded like she was just sleeping behind the mic when she was singing it. But it is what it is. I gave it a 3. I thought it was a good Bond. Not fantastic, but I gave it a 3. That's
fair enough
on that. But now let's get right into this movie review, because this is fresh. I watched it today. You watched it on Friday, right? It was Friday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. I'm sorry. You saw it Thursday, the premiere night. I saw it today as we speak. So with that said, Daniel Craig, James Bond, lead character for the final time.
Now this happened. Okay, so in every category except this one, the more the days went on until we reviewed this, this is a kind of movie that honestly, my thoughts on it changed like every day that went by. Okay. And we'll get more into it as we go to the categories. But it's not one of those movies that was like first time watch. I saw it. And as I walked out the theater, if we reviewed this that night, I feel like my scores might have been different. But the more I thought about it, the more certain things, you know, maybe clicked or didn't click or whatever the case may be. So I think that's a sign of an interesting film. At minimum, it's interesting because it kind of, you know, sits in your brain and you think about it. But the one thing that I didn't have to think about was my man, Daniel Craig as James Bond. 5. I'm going to give him a 5. Look, I think he owned in this entire series. The only one I didn't love him in was Quantum, and I still gave him a 4. So at worst for me, he was a 4. In every other movie, he was a 5. You could tell that he was like, he wanted to go out with a bang as an actor, as a character. He gave it everything he had, and he is older. You got to remember, we talked about it, I think, last show. You know, it's been like 15 years since Casino Royale. He's 15 years older in real life, and he's gotten injured a lot during these movies. You could read articles, and he got a lot of injuries. So the fact that he still threw himself into this role so hard, I got to respect it. He was great in the action scenes again. He went through the whole range of Bond in this, right? Like early on, you had a lot of emotional stuff with the girl. I can't remember her name. Like Madeline. Was it Madeline or something like that? Yeah. He went through that whole thing. And then he was the classic Bond shortly, you know, when it goes to the 5 years later when he's retired, the scene in Cuba, all that. Like that's very, he's quippy. He has some one-liners, got the suave. Everything. He did everything in this movie. I absolutely loved him. I'm going to let you go, but it's a 5 for me. I loved him.
I agree with you. I gave him a 5 throughout this whole entire era because I think he embodied what 007 was on these newer scripts of 007. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be now the focal point of anybody that's going to step behind the suit. And I have a theory on that. And we're going to talk about that on overall because I have a theory on what's going to happen.
Sure.
But I felt like in this one, it's the same how I felt with Spectre. I think he embodied all of them in this movie also. I think this was his final movie, and you could tell because it looked like he started to have more fun in this than it was in Quantum. It looked like he didn't want to do that for some reason. I agree with you. But again, it was due to storyline, I believe. But this one looked like he had fun. You could, I mean, that one shot of him fighting everyone going up the step. Yeah, it's he doesn't do one.
My notes.
Yeah, he doesn't do one shots. That's one thing about Daniel Craig. He allowed Sam Mendes to do the one shot on the roof. His type of actor. He said, I remember he did an interview, was that he loves to do the cut and doing scene by scene. But he said if the scene fits for a one shot, that he will absolutely do it. And he allowed him to do it with the action sequences because he felt that that would work. So anyway, that was pretty cool. I thought that was cool. I thought the chemistry between him and the new 007 was cool. I love Ana de Armas character, the Cuban chick. I think she, to be honest with you, if they would have did a 007, I'd rather see her than the other one, because I thought she had more of a Bond type. She was charismatic. She was funny. She could fight. She could shoot.
She was better in her one scene than the 007 actress. Yeah. To me.
And my thing with that, and I think the reason is, I think they didn't want to have a female or woman to outshine 007. Because then people go all crazy with the whole woke and all this crap. You know how it is nowadays. I think they did it right. The blend of female 007 with the interaction with 007. You know. But anyway, with that said, I thought Daniel Craig was amazing in this movie. I thought he was great. Now, main villain. Let's get to Robbie Malek.
Well, I don't know. Judging by what the sounds you just made, I don't know how this is going to go. So, okay.
Robbie.
This is one of the categories that my thoughts changed with time. I'm going to let you guys know in advance. Like, when it happened, I'll let you know. And this is when that happened. Now, walking out of the theater, I didn't love him as a villain. I was like, he was fine. I like Robbie Malek as an actor. One thing about these Craig movies, except maybe Casino Royale, because I feel like Lashif was in that movie a lot, is these villains are off screen a lot of the movies, right? Like, there's always a lot of stuff going on, and the villain's just, like, not there. And this is the same thing with this movie. And this movie's long. And I would say, and not in a bad way, but it feels the length that it is, right? Like, it's very big and long and epic. And Rami Malek wasn't there for a lot of it. With that being said, he does something. Okay, we're allowed to do spoilers, but I still won't spoil everything. But what he does in the kind of final scene on the island with Bond bumped him up a point for me. The more I thought about it, the more I said, that is maybe one of the most dastardly things a villain has done in any of these movies. And what I'm talking about, okay, I will say it. So what I'm talking about is the scene where him and Bond are fighting and they're in that water, and he puts that stuff on him where he puts what's the stupid thing called? The Heracles or whatever.
Yeah,
and he puts it on him and he makes it where he can't touch his daughter and the girl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that is as evil as, you know, killing all this stuff and dominating. And this was very personal to Bond, that it made it where, man, dang, even if Bond escapes all this, he cannot touch the people he loves most. And that is sad. And I said, that is a villain move. And it added a point. It's still not a 5 for me, but I'm going to give him a 4 because I think overall he was good. I do like how he kind of like eliminated Spectre pretty much by himself. You know what I mean? But that scene alone made me go, okay, that's one of the worst things that's happened to Bond directly from a villain, in my opinion. So a 4, not a 5.
All right. I'm going to say something here. I'm going to be really honest about this movie. And I think a lot of people are going to be like shocked when I say this. My scores are, and I'm going to watch it again, but this is, again, remember, I came fresh out the theater. So you're getting a fresh point of view, whatever, from whatever. And I know I got to rewatch it and all this. But in terms of Robbie Malek's character, I gave him a 2.
Oof.
I did not like him. I did not like him at all. And I'm going to be really honest with you. This movie's problem, and this is something, and again, I came out the theater and I was annoyed and angry because it's not the fact because of the ending. And we're going to talk about the ending. It wasn't because of the ending. I didn't care for that because I already predicted the ending and what stuff happened before the movie made. Because I already knew this is the route they were going to go with. But I was just like, the villain, and you're right, the villain's problem with the Daniel Craig, we never got a villain that steps up to Bond except Blofeld. Blofeld's the only one that pretty much hurt him where it hurts, stepped up to his brother, because it's his brother, right? Because now we got to call him his brother. His brother, and said, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and you're going to have to find your love, and I'm going to blow your ass out this building, right? Like, that's a villain. That's something villainy, right? Robbie Malley didn't do shit. He just sat down and he was like, what? With his stupid mask, which I was like, okay, it is what it is. But he wasn't diabolical. And that's the problem with this movie. Like, there was so many plots in this movie that I wouldn't even not even put him as the main villain. Main villain, right? Because the whole plot of this movie wasn't even Robbie Malley. It was more M. If you really think about it, because M, I don't know why, decides to make a weaponized thing, which I was like, you're dumb because you knew someone's going to take this and reverse it and make it into a weapon, right? And Robbie Malley did it. He figured it out, right? Blofeld figured it out. He figured it out. And I'm like, but this makes no sense, right? So anyway, Robbie Malley's character, he wasn't in the movie for that long. Flashback in the beginning, towards the ending. Right. And then when he steps up to Bond, he has his daughter, which I was like, OK, very diabolical, whatever. Bond gets out the situation. And I was like, damn, now he has to go get his daughter. So I was like, OK, cool. But he didn't even fight him like at all. He just shot him 2 times. Right. Bond whooped his ass because he's not a fighter, throws the thing in his face. And I'm like, oh, so I was like, so this whole 3 hour plus that I'm sitting here, you mean to tell me the final movie that you get Daniel Craig as Bond to whoop the villain's ass? It's a villain that he doesn't even really fight. It's a villain that just basically goes, poison, you're done, peace, I'm dead. And I'm like,
to that, the only thing I'll say to that is, fair, but he doesn't fight any of the villains in any of these movies. He didn't fight Blofeld 1-to-1. He didn't fight Javier Bardem 1-to-1. He chased him, but he didn't fight him. He didn't fight that stupid guy from Quantum 1-to-1. He didn't fight Lashif. Like, he didn't fight any of the villains in any of the movies. So,
right, but the thing is like, but at least Blofeld and him came face-to-face. Like, regardless of even fighting.
Sure.
But yeah, this is like the final movie, and I'm like, and the thing that annoyed me is, why couldn't you not have Blofeld escape and have the same plot and have him at the end fighting his brother, and then they could just both go, you know, wherever they're gonna go, you know, wherever you're gonna do with the ending. Like, you were introduced a character that, to me, first of all, is not even in the Bond movies history, so it's not like they brought back an old villain. This is a brand new villain they brought in, right? But the thing for me is, instead of just having Blofeld escape and have Spectre, which is already an organization that has people embedded in any government employee, right? No. Now we're going to have to throw another person. And then what happens with that? He decides to kill all the Spectre. I say, oh, so 4 movies that these people couldn't find them, this guy put them in one party and killed them all. I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And the theater, to be honest with you, the theater laughed at that whole scene. Because that was the same thing. Because I was like, this is stupid. I'm like,
huh? No, but the thing, my dad didn't laugh at it.
No, but it was pretty stupid, to be honest with you, because it's like, this guy took what, Quantum and Skyfall. Spectre showed their faces in Skyfall, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they made it into this big organization, and you mean to tell me this one party had the entire Spectre and he just wiped them out in one blow? Like, I was like, come on. I was like, this is such a rush writing just to tie up loose ends for Daniel Craig's final movie. That kind of sucks. I'm like, this sucks. And I was like, you should have just allowed Blofeld to leave and let Daniel Craig fight Blofeld. Because I'm like, Robbie Malek's character stinks. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I came out the theater going, this villain sucks. Like, he's not memorable to me at all. He's not memorable. Like, out of all the only one I would say, you know what? If I had to rank the villains, would be Javier Bardem would be number one. Number two would be Blofeld. I don't care. Dominic Green could be, he's done. He's garbage. Right? Lashif would be 3 for me. And then this dummy that plants. And I was like, it just really sucks that for a final movie that I'm waiting for, this big climactic part wasn't even climactic. It was just like, oh my God. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I was like, this villain, all he does is just taking someone else's weapon, switching it around. And okay, great. Like, I'm telling you, this is just the first part. This is gonna be one of those things. I gave him a 2. All right, action sequences.
All right, action sequences. Look, so being that the movie is so long, they are very spread out. But this director, his name is Cary Joji Fukunaga. Okay. And I don't know how many Americans have directed Bond movies. Mm-hmm. I know it's usually British people or European people. He's from California, so he's an American. He has a great style. I don't know if you ever watched the show True Detective. There's an episode in True Detective where it's a long one take shot with Matthew McConaughey, like at a party. And it's incredible. And I had a feeling, I'm like, I think he's going to do a one take at some point in this movie. And sure enough, that scene you mentioned where he's going up the stairs and beautiful. Look, I am a fan of technical aspects of filmmaking. I love one shots. I love camera work. I love all that kind of crap. Everything in this looks great. All the action scenes look great. They are sparse because the movie's so long. This felt like Spectre 2 to me. And I think I kind of mentioned that to you when we were talking off air. Like, it definitely feels like Spectre and this are really tied together more so than any of the other previous movies. You know what I mean? And in that regard, it felt the same. Like, the sequences were big and well done, but they were spread out. I love the opening scene in Italy. I love with the motorcycle jump. Even though it's in the trailer, it looks incredible when you actually see it in IMAX. It was awesome. You could tell it was like a stuntman doing it. Like, it wasn't all CGI, you know? I love the stuff with the car. That scene was pretty suspenseful when the dude shoot in the window. And it's like, how long is he going to wait? Like, he was pissed off. He's like, I'm going to let you get blasted, lady, because I hate your guts. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie, to be honest. Right there at the beginning, I was like, yeah, let her, you know what? Let her get blasted. Just screw her. Even though I had a feeling she didn't do it, but still, this guy's been through enough. Let her get wrecked. And he's like, fine, I'm going to save your life. And he starts spinning around with the machine gun. Awesome. I loved the Cuba scene, Ana de Armas and him, and then the new 007 at night with the shootout in Cuba. Beautiful. Like this. I'm not going to give it a 5, but I'm going to give it a nice, solid, close to a 5. I give it a 4.5. I thought the action was very well done. I don't have any issues with that. It's just that there's a lot of talking in this movie. There's a lot of talking. So you could feel it, but the action's extremely well shot, well done, well executed. I liked it. I had a good time when it was, you know, when it was going on.
Yeah, look, I gave the action a 5. I mean, this is the only movie you get to see gadgets. He whipped out every gadget known to man, which I thought the gadgets was beautifully done and well executed and where they used it. I mean, that opening title sequence. One thing Daniel Craig has is the best opening title sequence. Not sequence, the opening cold opening.
Oh, the cold openings.
Yeah, those are the best ones. I mean, this one is up there.
20 minutes long.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was like, whoa. Yeah. But, I mean, once he gets blown up in Vesper's tomb, I was like, this is pissed off Bond. I was like, this is what I'm talking
about.
Yeah, I was like, he's back for the final film. And that's right. I thought that was really good. I agree with you. The Cuba scene was really good. Ana de Armas, she was excellent. And I thought it was a cute scene when he took a shot with her to calm her down.
Yeah.
And everyone is shooting all over the place. He just grabbed the shot and drank with her. I thought that was all cool. Like, the movie that did well here is the action scenes. Like, they thought it out. Like, Skyfall, that's why I gave it a 5, because I was like, it was very well executed on when to use the action and when not to use the action. They pull no stops when it came to 007 and his action, even with the new 007 and even with Ana de Armas. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, no, I thought that was, yeah, a 5.
Oh, you know what? Now that, you know, you've convinced me, I'm going to give it a 5 too. I'll just give it a 5. What, I mean, you're 4. You know what? I just remember too, really, like, the last 25 minutes is one big action scene,
yeah,
pretty much.
Oh, action, yeah.
Yeah, so there is a lot. It's just that there's just a lot of spaces. Okay, 5. We'll both give it a 5. Why not? You convinced me. Like that one time I talked you up a point, you talked me up half a point. So I give it a 5 too.
I mean, even when he was talking about with his daughter, when he was like, yes, you win, and he bends down and kills all 4 in one shot, which I was like, heck yeah. Oh, damn, that's awesome. Okay, storyline.
So obviously, now I know. We're gonna be probably going different directions at this point, because I like the storyline a lot. There's a lot going on here. And I feel like just from the villain part that we talked about, maybe a lot of stuff that did work for me, maybe didn't work for you. And that's great. And that's why we do a podcast, right? Because you want different points of view. And Alex being a Bond professional and me being a less, you know, like I said, a casual, what works for me maybe doesn't work for him, and vice versa. He might get stuff that I have no idea. I don't know what the dots are in the opening credits. I don't know what those dots are, but they look cool. But, you know, he knows. So for him, it's way cooler. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, so with that being said, I thought the storyline was really good. I liked the whole idea of this villain, because he's been around in the shadows for so long, because he tried to kill the girl when she was little. He was trying to kill her dad. His dad was locked, or the dad was locked up in the bunker or whatever. You know what I mean? He's been plotting this thing all this time. You're right. I did like the stuff with M. You know, I like that. Finally, one of these M's, and they kind of did it with Judi Dench in Skyfall. But even then, you still were like, you know, you were mostly with her. But they kind of gave a little chink in the armor on M on this one. And I like that. You know, do something a little different while still being, you know, stick with your Bondisms, I guess. You know what I mean? Also try to mix in some other stuff. I like the retirement stuff. You know, the fact that he's retired. I like the banter with him in the new 007. I did like her. Don't get us wrong. Like, I liked Ana de Armas in her role. She was great. But I liked the the lady who played 007. She was cool too. And I like the banter between her and Craig, or her and Bond, you know. She's like, oh, 007, like, it must suck to hear it, or whatever. He's just like, it's just a number. I don't even care, whatever. Like, he tries to brush it off, like, whatever. And you could tell she wants to get under his skin sometimes, and he just plays it real cool, like, nope, I don't care. I'm retired, whatever, no big deal. And then by the end of it, they're like, she's like, he is. She even acknowledges, like, oh, okay, he's 007. You know what I mean? Like, it was cool. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really well done. You get good, strong female characters in this without being, you know, like you said, nothing shoved down your throat about anything, really. They're just well-written. Everyone's well-written. I like Bond, like I said. But I liked a lot of the plots. I didn't really know where it was going a lot of times. So for me, that's always a win. When I can't just guess, you know, okay, this is what's going on, I feel good about that. You know what I mean? So I liked the storyline a lot. I don't think it's perfect like Skyfall. I think Skyfall and really Casino Royale are pretty perfect. This one, and I won't be changed, and I don't think you're going to try to, but I'm not going to be changed. I'm going to stick with my 4.5. I actually thought this was better than Spectre, or definitely better than Quantum in the story department, but it's not the elite like the other two. So 4.5 for me.
The storyline, I gave it a 3. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like the plot, too much plot lines. I felt like it was way too much plot. You had the whole, it could be Spectre, then you have the whole Spectre thing, and then it's not Spectre, then it's the other group. I mean, it's Robbie Malick's people. And then, you know, you have the whole M created this weapon thing, which I was like, you know, it would have made more sense if it was Q and they broke into Q branch and stole the stupid weapon. You know, like, I would have been like, that would have been more plausible than just M just out of the blue. We're going to make a weaponized thing and not going to tell nobody. And I'm like, so all these bad guys in the world figured out that you're doing this undercover weaponized something, right? Like, he's like, oh, it wasn't going to leak. Well, it leaked. Like, you're an idiot because you're the head of MI6. So, you know, all this stuff leaks and you didn't think this was going to leak. So I was like, whatever. To me, it should have been Q branch that did it, and then I would have been like, okay, I'm fine with that. But anyway, that storyline, I was just like, eh. I hated the whole them killing the entire Spectre, because I was like, you know, Spectre's been around since all the old movies, and for them to wipe it out in like literally 5 minutes, I was just like, this is just stupid. Like, it's just a dumb thing to do. Like, to me, it was just dumb. Blofeld's death pissed me off royally. It pissed me off. When I say royally, I was really pissed off. Because I was like, the way they did it was just a slap in the face to especially a mastermind like that. Like, I thought it would be easier for him to just break out and get killed by getting shot, or a building falls on him and he's just talking to him while he dies. No, it was this stupid little poison crap, and Bond got it because he transmitted it from her, and now he's poisoned too and can't get removed. And I was like, big fucking whoop now. I'm just getting annoyed. And he chokes him. And I was just like, this is dumb. Like, to me, it was just dumb. Like, it was really dumb, because I was like, this is a big character in 007. To kill him the way you did, for me, it was a slap in the face. It is. And I know a lot of people is okay with it. It's a modern movie, and a lot of people really don't know these characters, so it really doesn't even matter. But for me, I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all. I was just like, I felt like Blofeld should have just been the final villain in this entire arc. Because supposedly he was the architect of his pain, because he said it in Skyfall, but technically he wasn't. Because it was like, all that spiel that you said in the last movie basically went to dumpster, because we got Robbie Malick, who was under the other shadow that no one knew, and he was orchestrating whatever. And I was like, this is dumb. So now you got two villains that were orchestrating all this stuff in the shadows. I was like, how many villains are in the shadows? Like, in this point, like, it's just so dumb. I mean, to me, it was just dumb. Because you have one villain talking all this smack in the last movie, right? Which was the awkward, he killed Vesper, he killed, you know, M supposedly, and all this stuff, and he or did this and that, and all of a sudden it's just like, we're just gonna kill you with this little poison, and he's gonna choke you in the stupid thing, and that's it. Poop, you killed one of the biggest villains. There you go, that's your death scene. Now, Felix Leiter pissed me off, because now, everyone knows, if you watch 007, Felix Leiter dies in License to Kill. And that's what drives him. That's why it's called License to Kill, because they revoked it. And then he gets pissed off Bond, Timothy Dalton, and he goes off to kill the person that killed Felix Leiter. Right? This one, another useless death scene, because there was no emotion. It was no emotion. Again, another water death. Again, another one. So Bond couldn't grieve. He was just there, and then gets out, and then that's it. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was like, you can't even mourn for these characters. Not even the fans can mourn for these characters. Because you're like, oh, shit, he died. Oh, oh, okay. You know, water sinking. Of course you're gonna leave him there. And then M says something stupid, and then he goes, well, Felix died. And I'm like, oh, wow, great. I was like, I was there like a dummy going, you know what? Just kill off everybody at this point, which they did. I mean, to be honest with you, they did. And I was like, I started to get numb because I was like, I feel like they were just closing everything. They were just like, we're gonna kill everybody, and this is the swan song. Goodbye. That's it. Blofeld, kapoof, you're dead. Felix Leiter, poof, you're dead. And Robbie Malik, you're going to have a stupid fight scene. Poof, you're dead. And I don't know. For me, I felt like the storyline, and I gave it a 3 to be really nice because I could jock this crap down. But I know myself, I'm going to rewatch it again, and I might change it. But I'm going to give it a 3 just to be nice. But honestly, I'm very disappointed on the character, the way they use certain characters for me. To me, I felt like it was the wrong way of using some of these characters because the setup to me fell flat. You got these big, you got a big Blofeld. Goodbye. We got Robbie Malik, you know, he's a bigger mastermind than Blofeld, which is like, makes no sense. Like, to me, that never made sense. But I was like, it is what it is.
Overall. Let me just say something. So before we go, to be fair, so now totally everything you said, cool. No arguments. I'm not going to argue with you. You're a big Bond fan. Now, I'll just speak to people who maybe Blofeld to me. I don't know Blofeld from anything except Christoph Waltz. You know what I mean? And we talked about it last episode. I didn't even like him, Inspector. So him dying I couldn't care less because they didn't do a good job of introducing Blofeld, Inspector, for me to be attached to him now. You have seen Blofeld in how many movies is he in? Do you know?
Six.
I don't know. 6 movies. Okay. You've seen him 6 times. So yeah, I get it. It's like, okay, to more seasoned Bond fans, maybe that's a good, valid argument. So right on. For me, it's like, I didn't even like him. I thought it was stupid how they introduced him. I thought he was useless, Inspector, for the most part, till the very end, you know? So to kill him, it has no weight on me. Felix Leiter, I feel the exact same way. He was only in 2 of these movies. He was in Quantum of Solace a very little bit, just like hanging out with Stranger Things guy. And he was the CIA guy, the Stranger Things. David Harbour. And then in the first movie, I liked him. I liked him in the Casino Royale, right? But he wasn't in Skyfall. He wasn't in Spectre. So again, I don't have attachment to them because I haven't seen him in the 20 other Bond movies. So those deaths, I agree. I don't think there was a lot of weight put into the Felix Leiter death, but I don't think in the Craig movies, he was as integral a part of the story as he might have been in previous movies. You know what I mean? So I think for this set of 5 movies, Blofeld was not whatever he was in the previous Bond movies. You know what I mean? I didn't like him. I lower villain for me anyway. So it's good to get the both perspectives. I totally see where you're coming from though. Awesome. Okay. Overall, I liked it. I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was really good. We're not doing a ranking, but if we were, it's probably in the middle for me. I think there are 2 better movies than this. I think Casino Royale is overall a better movie. And I think Skyfall is the best one still. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I do think they could have trimmed it. I do agree with you. There's a lot of subplots and some are less interesting than others. So when you have a movie with that much going on, there's always some stuff that could be trimmed. And I feel like they wanted to just put everything in there. It's the last hurrah, like you said. Let's just put as much in as possible and put this big movie out. And that's well and good, but I hate to say it dragged at moments, but it definitely did. There are definitely some moments that dragged a little bit. And I was like, okay, can we like move this along? And the same thing happened in Spectre. There was like parts where it's like, okay, like let's tighten this up a little bit. So with that being said, I did give it a 4.5. Again, I'm thinking 9 out of 10, you know, because I always score on 10. Because I think for the most part, as far as sending off a character, I really liked the third act of the movie. I know you didn't love it, but I really enjoyed the third act of the movie. It hit me in a way that I like. I like stuff, movies that do these sort of things. So I thought it was cool. And was it just me? I mean, maybe you didn't, but I don't know who did the score for this movie.
It was Hans Zimmer.
It was Hans Zimmer. Freaking knew it because there is the scene where he's running around in the end when he's in that big facility. It sounds exactly like The Dark Knight. It sounds, it's 95% of the same exact like music from The Dark Knight. And I was like, this sounds a lot like Batman music. I forgot to check during the credits. You know, I was kind of like overtaken with the visuals. So I didn't see who did the music. Thank you for clarifying, because I knew I wasn't crazy. I'm like,
it was Hans Zimmer.
This is Dark Knight. So I love that score. Don't get me wrong. I love the score in Dark Knight. I think Spectre and Skyfall had better scores. And I know Hans Zimmer didn't do those. So yeah, I gave it a 4.5. I really had a good time. I would like to see it again, to be honest with you. Maybe a little earlier in the day. I did see it kind of late. So I got out kind of late. And that didn't help either. I was getting a little fatigued by the end of it. So I might do like a Saturday afternoon or Sunday, like you did, Sunday afternoon screening next time. But yeah, I liked it.
My overall is a 3. I don't, this is fresh. I need to see it again. Like, my rule of thumb when I do a review is like, watch it more than once, give it 2 times just to let it marinate. Like,
yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 3. I believe I'm going to give it a 3 anyway. I was very disappointed in the way they used a lot of characters. Again, I watched all of them, so I know almost all of the characters. So it kind of sucked. And I would like to talk about Bond's death, because I kind of knew this was what they wanted to do. And I remember this was a theory that I had even when the movie was never even made. And when I was doing like with Alex Madden's channel, I talked about this is something I feel like they were going to do, and they did do it. I thought his death scene sucked. Like, it was just, I just felt like it was like a stupid way for him to die. Like, to literally, I thought it was the dumbest way for him to die. And I was like, you couldn't do it no heroic way of him, like, doing something heroic. I mean, I don't know right now, but some other way than him just standing there and missiles just coming down on him. Like, it was just one of those weird, I was just like, this is just dumb. Like, I wasn't the only one. Some people in the theater were just like, really? Some people got up and left before even the damn movie ended. And I was just like,
harsh critics up there. And
oh, dude. Like, literally, like, even my, like, I was like, the people that sitting next to me here was just like in shock. They were like, they were really leaving. Like, you saw people got the minute the bombs came and saw him die, yeah, they just got up and broke out. They didn't even care. That. And yeah, a part of me was just like, this sucks. Like, literally, like 60 years of Bond, and this is the way he goes out. Like, I mean, out of all the other ways he could have died in every other movie, like, this is the way he goes out. The poison thing, I really didn't even care at this point. I was just like, this is the dumbest thing ever. But I'm like, the missile launching thing and he's standing there, I was like, this is dumb. Like, this is 60 years of this. And I was just like, it is. A lot of people love it. I already got people who are like, oh, this is the perfect Bond movie. I was like, you must be smoking something. This is not the best Bond movie. I was like, Skyfall is still the best one. I think it's way better than this one. Hand by far, in terms of villains and storyline and everything. But this is what I will say with the new Bond. And everyone could say, oh, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, because the same thing when I said he's gonna have a daughter and he was gonna die, everyone thought I was crazy. And if,
oh, this is your theory for future?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're gonna make another one, of course. Oh, yeah. Right,
it's on the
this
credits.
Is, I'm gonna say it right now, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but this is my theory. Daniel Craig will play the last James Bond on screen, and everyone else that gets casted will be a new 007, but not James Bond. He died on screen. So anyone that puts on that suit will not be James Bond. I think they're going to reboot it with a new person, not Bond. Bond dies with Daniel Craig. That's what I think. Because you cannot tell me 60 years of 007 and the way he went out and he had a daughter and he had all this, that is them going, that character is done. We are not making him no more. Daniel Craig just finished it off.
Well, and the end credits does say James Bond will return. Not 007 will return. It says James Bond will return. So I would imagine he will.
I don't know. I think I have a feeling he's not returning. I mean, I know they're going to say 007, James Bond, but I don't think, to me, they kept looting a lot of the number. Anyone could be the number, which is true. It could be, Keanu Cage, for all I care. You know,
it's going to be Jamie Blonde.
Yeah, Jamie Blonde, right? Like, it could be even his daughter grown up, the baby, right? It grows up, Daniel Craig's daughter, whatever. I don't know. But anyway.
I think he'll return. You know what? The way I look at it, all of these movies, none of them have anything to do with each other anyway. You know what I mean? Like, they're not tied together. So they could have killed Bond at the end of each series and it wouldn't have mattered. You could still make a new one because, really, this Daniel Craig is blonde with blue eyes. Pierce Brosnan's brown hair and brown eyes. And the other guy is Irish. And the other, it doesn't matter. They're all James Bond, been alive for 60 years and he's still the same age. You know what I mean? So I get it, though. It's an interesting theory. I don't know. I think he'll come back just because these movies make a ton of money and they're very popular. But we'll see. You might be onto something there. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just spitballing. I just thought about it because the whole theme of this whole movie was the whole anybody could be a 007. And I was just like, you know what? And they killed them off. I'm like, they're basically saying they're going to reboot it again, but with not 007. Someone else in that role.
Yeah,
so we'll, I mean, I don't know, but anyway, that's a 3 for me. And what's your total points?
Total points are really high for me. I really liked it. No Time to Die, had a blast. Mostly, I have a 23 out of 25.
Ooh, This is the first time you surpassed me in a Bond movie.
Yeah, this is the only one. Mark it down. Everybody write this down. This is the first time and maybe the last time I had a higher score than Alex on any of these movies. Brosnan or these. I never had a higher score than him.
Yeah, I'm at an 18 out of a 25 on this.
Not bad.
It's an enjoyable movie. For me,
but you had some gripes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it was enjoyable. But again, it's a side of me, is the nerd in me, that Nate always says my version of 007 on the screen. So
yeah,
again, I guarantee you, if I rewatch it again, I bet you I'll score it more than what I did in initial reaction. But I still think the ending sequence is
Or maybe you'll hate it more.
I might even hate it more. Yeah.
You never know with these movies.
Yeah, I might hate it even more. So I don't even know. But Nate, you know what to do.
Yeah. Right on. So this was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to our first ever theatrical review. Now, I have the schedule, so I know we don't have another one of these for a long time. Maybe maybe never. I don't know. But we'll be reviewing stuff over on Level of Geeks. Yeah, live. We're going to be doing those live, so make sure you follow us there. But what's coming up? Now, Alex, we had a very spectacular start last week to our bad action movie month. Speed 2 was a masterpiece of trash, if you will. And this week, we're moving on to another one voted by the fans, and this is The Last Airbender. Don't call it Avatar, because this is not Avatar. It's just The Last Airbender. We're going to be reviewing that. All right, we're going to rank Bonds. Do you want to do a 5-movie ranking?
Yeah, we could do that. Why not? Yeah, we could prove
it. We'll also be doing a Bond ranking, so keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah, so there you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. If you want to check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews, anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Action Movie Guys podcast on Instagram. Levels of Geeks on Instagram also. And then, of course, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, you guys could please hit that subscribe button. If you guys want to support the channel, hit the like buttons. If you guys enjoyed the video, and of course, hit those notification bells so every time we go live, starting November 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern, that's a Monday, you guys will be notified. There you have it. I'm your host, Alex. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
at Nate from NateFlix Reviews.
Be also to each other and geek out.